time for the Best of Ourselves segment with Marcia Hyatt. Good morning.
Good morning, CJ. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning.
Beautiful day. Beautiful day.
Yeah, I am waiting for that. Well, we have had our first snowflake, but, you know, additional snowflakes.
Would be good.
I'm looking forward to.
We've got the cold. Now all we need is the...
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah. It's coming. And so we are in December. Like December. And the theme for the Best of Ourselves in December is happiness, or... What I feel more comfortable talking about is contentedness or well-being, because happiness feels like, well, one is it feels elusive and you know, sort of temporal, and also it's we get this like it's searching for something,
pursuit of
a lot of what we need is already there. So happiness is the theme for the month, and it follows logically on the gratitude month of November. They fit really well together, and today I want to talk a bit about happiness from within, the inside out part of that. That's a 5-minute deal, but we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk from different angles over the course of the weeks. But you know, how we think about things, of course, has a huge impact on our sense of well-being, our sense of contentedness. And a lot of the reading I've been doing lately from a book called The Happiness Hypothesis by Jonathan Haidt, where he looks at psychological research and ancient wisdom. And then I've also revisited a book I read and even talked about last winter, which is My Stroke of Insight.
Oh, love that book.
Yeah, by Dr. Joe Bolte Taylor, a brain researcher who had a stroke and talked about the brain function and what she learned from that. So in those two, using those two resources in my own life experience, so the question is, what is it that we can do from the inside to create more of a sense of well-being, contentedness with whatever life throws at us? I mean, that doesn't mean we don't feel grief. Does it mean we don't have pain? Does it mean we don't have suffering or difficulty? But... well, the Shakespeare quote, there is nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so. So how do we become a little bit more mindful, skillful in our day-to-day lives, riding whatever comes our way? The way that Jonathan Haidt talks about it, which I love this metaphor, I think I alluded to this last time, he said the mind, and psychological research shows this over and over, is a lot of the mind is like this huge elephant. And your conscious, thoughtful, you know, your best self mind is like this little teeny rider on the top of that elephant. And so when something triggers that elephant, and particularly negative things, because we're really fast, you know, anything we perceive as bad, our brain, we just react to negative much faster, much stronger. You think of that elephant, you know, responding to something, and you're this, this little teeny voice on top of the elephant saying, I don't think we wanted to say that. Excuse me. Hello, elephant. And there's some way of thinking about that really helps me, because it's like, my gosh, I do react to some things. It just... like when I sit back and think, why did I just blow up? Or why did I just get so upset? That means nothing. But that's that elephant part. And, you know, if there's a hissing snake in front of you on the path, you want that elephant to react quickly. But if it's someone said something that you perceived as a slight or negative, that immediate response may not be as skillful. So being really patient with ourselves and knowing that we can get into, you know, the brain structure, which I don't, in 5 minutes, we're not going to do that. you know, the limbic structure, the emotional structure, you know, the amygdala, that's a favorite little part of the brain that just takes charge and helps us run away or fight. So knowing that that's there, and the other part, and so being patient with ourselves. But the thing that Jill Bolte Taylor talks about in her book is that when the limbic system, the emotional part of the brain, is activated, it physiologically takes over our body for 90 seconds, 90 seconds. But then after that, we have a choice.
Yeah.
You know, so the elephant has responded. But after that, that's when a little bit more skillful rider can calm the elephant down and just say, wait a minute. I mean, that person that rolled their eyes when I said something, is that really worth, you know, yelling and screaming? You know, whatever. And so that part, the other part is in terms of happiness from the inside out, it's just being really conscious about your internal dialogue or monologue. I'm not sure. The gremlin voices, the cop in the head, the critic, that can sort of, when something happens, you know, yes, you can feel the feeling, but often we spiral. like, I just got this little bit of bad news. Nothing. I mean, in the scheme of my life, I will not remember this. It is nothing. But a little bit of bad news, and I'm just feeling it in my gut, and I'm feeling really awful. And then I started listening to that little voice in my head saying, see, see, you just never did enough. You didn't plan enough. You didn't give enough time, right? Mm-hmm. That she's just tearing me apart. Mm-hmm. And so that consciousness of that little whisper, it's like the wind, you know, a little whisper voice that says, that judges, that tells you that that's bad, you know, that tells you you're bad. Being more conscious of that, more mindful of that, again, helps the elephant. So that spiral of self-judgment and negativity doesn't rule the day. Mm-hmm. So how do I get a little bit more mindful is the question then? Because if we could learn how to befriend ourselves, if we could learn how, there's a Sanskrit, I guess it's from Tibetan tradition, called Maitri, unconditional friendship with myself. Wouldn't that be just a wonderful, like my dog, how my dog feels about me? I'd love to have that as well. It's like, yeah, okay, I am this flawed human being. And who isn't? Mm-hmm. And so can I give myself a little bit of a break? What would a good friendship to myself look like now? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean we don't feel, doesn't mean, I'm not saying happiness is about Pollyanna, doesn't mean we turn our way, face away from the pain or the suffering or the difficult. We feel it, and yet we don't have it control us. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yep. It doesn't take us charging down the jungle path
right.
on this huge
right.
elephant.
Yeah.
Out of control.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's different forms. And so there's different ways of dealing with it. Like Jill Bolte Taylor talks about how she keeps a list of three things that help her change the channel. So when she catches herself reacting, the emotional brain's taking over, she knows from her stroke, she doesn't have to stay there. And mm-hmm. so she either keeps something that she finds fascinating to ponder more deeply, or she has a picture of, I think, her dog, who brings her terrific joy, or she has a little cheat sheet to remind her of something she wants to do, and that just changes the channel. Now, Jonathan Haidt, in his book, The Happiness Hypothesis, I love how he frames this. He said, okay, what if there was a pill you could take once a day to reduce anxiety and increase your contentment? And the pill has a variety of additional side effects like increased self-esteem, empathy, trust, and improved memory. It's all natural and costs nothing. Would you take it?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Well, it's meditation. You know, lots of research on meditation. It comes from a variety of traditions. There's, you know, the centering prayer or silent meditation. And I'll tell you, when people said I should do this as part of my growth practice, I was like, no, I don't need to do that. I journal, I walk, I have all these other things I do. And yet, anything I resist really strongly, usually there's a reason that I mm-hmm. resist it. And I hate sitting still. And then I hated sitting and listening to my brain chatter all those horrible things it was telling me that I wasn't even hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And what all the different forms and all different religious traditions, that sitting silently is a practice in focusing your attention in a non-analytical way. And the way Jill Bolte Taylor talks about it is just the left verbal word side of your brain, the left side, it's just really loud. And there's a lot more brain there than that left side. So you're just giving yourself a little bit of space mm-hmm. to think. So we can talk more, and we will talk more as we talk about happiness over the course of the next time. And by the way, as we work this subject, just like any subject, I come with great humility. I am not a model of happiness and joy. And yet, I so appreciate thinking about it, because mm-hmm. just like you said last week, CJ, when you start thinking about, well, what were my moments of contentment today? What were my moments of well-being? It actually increases my
awareness
and yep. feeling and celebrating mm-hmm. those moments.
Yep.
So here's a quote from Jill Bolte Taylor to close us out for today. I'm a devout believer that paying attention to our self-talk is vitally important for our mental health. In my opinion, making the decision that internal verbal abuse is not acceptable behavior is the first step towards finding deep inner peace.
Hmm.
May we all find that.
Indeed.